Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Hey, Jack Butella for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. We show you how to buy property for half of what it's worth and resell it the very next day. Great information and instruction from Jack, that's me.
And inspiration from Jill, that's me.
In this episode, Jill and I talk about real estate highest and best used. Hey, sometimes it's actually land. Jill, great show today. Before we start, here's some funny stuff that happened to us recently. Jill, I can't believe the apartment deal you just cut in Los Angeles for us. It's half a block from the ocean.
I know.
And I just think this is how you roll. Tell us about it. Tell us, how did you do this?
It's
half price.
It's called the inside tract.
we're all about half price here in our world here, but Jill makes no exception for just tell us about the deal.
Vacation deals, housing deals, dream it up. You know, that's what's so funny, and I can't wait for the world to see where we're going with this. But you and I are consistently proving you can have almost anything you want for half price if you just reach out to enough people. But and this one was a little bit of that and a little bit of having the inside track, you know, because my best friend happens to live right by there, so that worked out great.
So my first gut when we started to do this apartment thing, and you know, because we're going to go back and forth for a lot of reasons, from Scottsdale to less to really it's called South Bay, right? And my first gut was like, how can I get some stuff in the mail to all the people who own and you can't, because it's not, and I've been saying this forever, it's not database driven. Right. If it was database driven, it would have been fine.
Right. Well, remember we talked about that. It was like, okay, if the average price around here is 1.2, okay, do I send offers for $800,000 and see what comes back? Close tomorrow.
We have members doing that. I mean, to buy a place would be easy.
Right, exactly.
You could get it for pretty close to half.
Right.
If your sample is large enough.
Exactly.
But for rent, you know, I mean, you just can't. It's not database driven. And what do I mean by that? You can't get a good list of people who have stuff for rent, because there's guest houses and that community is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just send a letter to all the apartment buildings.
That's true. You have to isolate, like I did with the vacation thing that time that we were right on the beach on the strand.
Right.
Yeah, I isolated the group and did a little more work, and I narrowed it down to like 10. So, and I got one.
Three bedrooms, second floor.
Two stories,
tiny little community. You know, I don't know if it has
big
10,
old loft.
10 units. It's got, you know, cage underground parking and storage.
Yeah.
Yeah, three bedrooms.
Exactly.
So, and I'm not going to tell you what the rent is, because everybody's, let me tell you this, it's close to half of what market rent is for that square
footage. Exactly.
Nobody gets 2,000 square feet.
Wait, do you know what?
If you live in a huge house in Tennessee or something like that, that might sound crazy to you, but 2,000 feet in a little beach community is unbelievable.
Exactly.
With all those amenities.
What's funny is, too,
I thought it was going to be 200 feet and I was ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at those. I was like, hey, that's okay. We had a two bedroom out there before that was 800 square feet. We're like, yay, that's kind of funny. You're just going, all right, we can make this work. But shoot, I lost that.
Hey, before we get started, Jill, let's take a question posted by one of our members in Success Plant, our online free community.
Jermaine wrote, all right, we closed on our bestseller finance deal last week. Here are the numbers. I purchased this property in April. It was a 1.76 acre property. Purchase price, $663. Title report, $126.
I pulled a title report.
Nice. Notary, $160. So total purchase price, $949.
$1,000.
Right. Seller finance price, $6,000. Down payment, $500. He's already got half of his investment back in the down payment, by the way.
Oh, it works.
Yeah. Plus $114 rent.
Isn't that funny? First month rent.
And the first month rent. So they paid the $500 in that. So they almost, so they got $600 back already on there.
I don't know why, but I love that he's using the word rent in this deal.
I love it. It's so cute. So we received 64%, I love the numbers, of our money back on the down payment. And if the buyer goes through with the entire seller finance agreement, the ROI is 621%. Working hard so we can bring more deals like this weekly.
See?
I love it.
There's no question here. I just put, I copied and pasted this right out of Success Plan because I just, 600% ROI. And he's brand new at this.
Do you know what's so funny? It's hard. See, this is the problem. I have a question. How do you keep people from getting greedy? Because it's hard. You got to reel it back in sometimes, folks, and know that this is not going to always go this way. You might have 200%. And last time I checked, that's okay. So, but this is awesome.
200%. Well, 200% on a flip, but yeah. Terms deals like this are not, that's not uncommon at all. Actually, 600% is kind of low in my opinion.
Isn't it great? And you know what? And here's the thing. The buyer is thrilled because look what they're getting. They put $600 down and pay $100 a month for a while and they get to own that property. Yeah. And they probably didn't know that that was possible. And they are just so darn excited.
This is clearly somebody who, you know, took our instructions seriously, took our suggestions and instructions seriously, and made it work. And Jermaine, I'm proud of you.
Yep.
Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Please don't be boring. Today's topic, real estate highest and best use. Hey, sometimes it's land. Jill, you know what highest and best use is?
I do.
Go ahead and explain it for all of us.
In the Jill terms.
that's why I want to hear it.
That's what you want to know.
That's why I love to hear it, because, you know, I'm not going to say why. Okay. You tend to make everything interesting.
Okay, in Jill's way of explaining highest and best use, say you have a parcel of land, an infill lot in Manhattan, New York, for example. The highest and best use might not be a parking garage. It might not be a grocery store. It might not be a hospital. It might be apartments. I mean, basically, in my terms, it's running numbers and finding out what's the best, how you're going to get the most profit out of that piece of property.
Okay.
That's how I describe. Now you're going to tell me I'm all wrong.
No, you're in your little world of awesome Disneyland, whatever. And I mean this totally with respect. That is absolutely one way you could define it.
Okay.
But in a real estate developer's world, and both are super important here, so I'm not discounting it.
Okay.
But the technical term highest and best use is a term that developers typically use. So you know how we're all getting up in the morning and looking at deals that because we sent out mail, it's all coming back. Mm-hmm. We got some good deal flow. What a developer does is he looks around, much in the same way that we do, for the best property that he can find and then change its use. So imagine this. You're driving down the street in a large city and you see 22 skyscrapers in a row and then you see a silly little church.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the highest and best use for that piece of land. The highest and best use might be an apartment building, another skyscraper, probably a gas station even, but not a church.
Right.
So, this is slightly technical show, and I'm trying not to be boring. That's why I asked you because I love your answer. Sometimes the highest and best use for property is land. In our business, when we're purchasing and selling these properties and not making any improvements, which I just love, not improving it, you're making up for the fact that you're doing no improvements by the fact that you bought a piece of property for an awesome price.
Mm-hmm.
The highest and best use for the vast majority of our members and what we do is already done for us. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
That's my point to this whole thing.
I love it.
And that's the meat of the show.
I love it. What about people who use it for farming or things like that?
Farming's a great example. I believe that most farmland is the highest and best use.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain, you know, a lot of times, you see, that's a great example, Jill. So a lot of times you'll see a farmer this day and age, they'll cut up their property. So they'll take, let's say it's a huge farm and they've got some road frontage as typically, and then part of the property is their house that they've lived in for a long time, or maybe mm-hmm. even their parents or grandparents lived in. So the highest and best use for the road frontage property is not farming. Mm-hmm. And so you see a lot of them sell that off
mm-hmm.
or land lease it off to a developer who puts on maybe a subdivision or whatever. But in the back, mm-hmm. they're still farming away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to leave it to the kids kind of thing. So, yeah, that's a great farmland is a perfect example of mm-hmm. highest and best use. Great work.
You know, what's interesting about that. I mean, we've all seen this happen and how it changed. And I have coming from Orange County, I can't tell you how many things that I've seen, how many properties that used to be orange groves and strawberry fields, you know, where I grew up, that are now housing developments and gas stations and grocery stores. And even one of them became a huge Kaiser Permanente medical facility. Mm-hmm. Talk about there's your highest and best use. At one time it was. It changes too. I guess that's my point. It's what is highest and best use right now could change. Because Absolutely. Back then, the highest and best use was a strawberry field mm-hmm. in Garden Grove. And now it's a Kaiser Permanente complex. You know, it changes.
Yeah, so
like you just said, they came in and they isolated that and they changed the use.
Right. One of the ways that I go to work is up north Scottsdale Road to our office. It's like 3 miles away from where we live in half the time. The other time it's in a beach. But anyway, thanks to Jill.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a huge sign up right on this little tiny little garden office building complex that says redevelopment opportunity. And that's exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best use for that property for a lot of years was that little office community, but it's not anymore.
Exactly.
It's condos.
Yep.
It says redevelopment opportunity for condos. I think the owners might have even put in the zoning change. Anyway, well said.
Thank you.
Hey, this is the meat of the show. This is the technical 10 of the show. I'm getting behind myself, typically. 10 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000-plus deal history and experience. Here is my technical advice. It's not going to take even 10 minutes because we're getting these questions a lot. You don't have to improve this product type.
Right.
You only have to buy it right.
Exactly.
Buy it right, and sell it for twice as much. And if you're very, very good at it, and experienced, and you stay like many of our top 5-10 members are right now, you just stay the course
mm-hmm.
and plow through. If you're not getting the offers back that you think you should get back, I haven't heard of that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just put some more. Don't scratch your head and change your whole thing. Just get some more mail out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Jill, do we have some inspiration today?
Sometimes there is no secret. It's just hard work.
Oh,
you know where
my
I got
gosh.
That?
That's, you'll go ahead from well, Buddha. I have a Buddha quote.
You have a Buddha quote? Well, yeah. Oh, here's my thing. I was reading, we're in a Facebook book group. And they were talking about, people were making jokes about a secret county. And one guy piped in and said, hey, here's a list of the secret counties. And he cut and pasted the link to every single county in the United States. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I saw that.
Here's your secret county, which is true.
Well, he said, quote of the month, there's no such thing as a secret county,
right.
which I think he took from one of our shows. Right?
I wrote amen to that one because I'm like, you're so right. There isn't. And my point is that sometimes there's really no secret. It's just hard work. And it's not necessarily hard. You just got to stay the course and organize and be motivated,
yep.
you know? And so there's sometimes depending, no matter what you're doing, you know, there's so many things in life that are not, there's no secret. You just have to go do it and follow through.
I love it. No, there's a famous Buddha saying, you know, Buddhists believe that if that's your religion, you try to get to enlightenment. It doesn't happen in one lifetime.
Right.
It happens in several. But Buddha said, theoretically, he said, before enlightenment, you haul water and chop wood. And after enlightenment, guess what? You haul water and chop wood. So just because you met all your goals and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's still a lot of hard work involved in everything.
I cannot believe you have that phrase tucked back in there somewhere.
Why?
Why? Because that is so doesn't, you know, Jack?
Here it comes.
That's just, of all the things, the phrases you have shared with me and us over the months and years, I didn't know that was tucked back in there.
The dumbest stuff ever is tucked in my head.
Wow.
That was actually not a bad quote, but there's some
fantastic quote.
Super dumb stuff up there, trust me.
Wow. That's really good. And I don't think you got that from Family Guy. So, oh my gosh. That's very good.
Yeah. You know what I noticed on Family Guy lately? That they're putting, I think that's the funniest show there ever was, but it's not for women at all. So lately they've been sitting there. They interject these little things in the whole during the show, like, why is my girlfriend sitting there angry because I'm watching Family Guy?
Oh, they do that? Yeah, that's awesome. All the time. That's hilarious. Anyway.
I could have a whole podcast, not just an episode on
Family Guy. Do I have to show up for that one?
No.
Okay, because I won't get it. No, I won't. I mean, it's just not for me. It's okay.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
Get there first.
That was really good. I can't believe you haven't shared that with me. What else you got?
Oh, it's not like a list.
That's very interesting.
It's event-driven and reactionary.
So how far deep, dark, back, buried are quotes like that?
Because it's not just me. I think a lot of people have that. You have it?
Yeah, but it's more, I use them more daily, I guess. I don't know. That just surprised me. I'm very impressed, Jack.
You know, people ask you.
Oh, I think that was cool.
When we get interviewed on other people's podcasts, one of the favorite questions they ask, I don't know why, is I do know why, but it's give us a book that you love to read and that's inspirational. Why is that? Why do they ask that question?
I don't know, and I don't like that question.
Well, Siddhartha, there's a book by, last name is Hesse. I don't know the first name, but which is, the story of Buddha and the religion, but it's brought down into almost like a childhood fable / you could read it to your young child. And that's always been on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I go back, honestly, and read that once in a while just to read it.
Got it. You know what one of my favorite books was?
Mm-mm.
Jurassic Park.
I thought you were going to say something like the Air Very Hungry Caterpillar or something.
Oh, okay, that too. That and Goodnight Moon. No, you want to know what my runaway childhood... Okay, all right. Hey, let's do this.
All right, let's do this.
Okay.
Once and for all, so we don't have to answer the questions anymore.
No, I want a childhood book. Give me one of your... Okay, see if you... I have probably two that I loved as a kid, so...
Like you mean teen years?
No, like a kid.
Like a
Dr. Seuss age. Like, you want to hear my two?
Yes,
and then
yes.
You can know where I'm going with that. Okay. So I have two. One, because I just love, I can still hear my mom reading it to me. It was one of my favorite books. It was The Pokey Little Puppy, because I thought that was really cool. But my all-time childhood favorite book is Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They made a movie out of that and they destroyed it.
I didn't see the movie. I refuse to see the movie because it can't be as good as the book.
You know, at that age, I was busy engaging in what now is considered criminal activity.
Oh, but, no.
Like building bombs and stuff. You know, these kids today, they can't do anything. They can't build a bomb.
That's funny.
You know, my son came home recently and said several people in he's in middle school, a grade higher than he is, got expelled. I mean, and my first action was, okay, my first question was, what does expelled mean to you? And he said, they got kicked out of school forever and they can't come back. And I said, well, what the heck did they do? They were vaping. They were smoking this vape thing, And I'm not so sure, I just think.
It's a one strike and you're out?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of one strike
Jill,
and you're out.
I'm not either. I'm right standing next to you on this.
I mean, they're still kids.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was
part
a
of me is like,
stupid
yeah, you
decision.
Should never smoke ever, but.
Because I'm sure all of our decisions of that age are all
That's my point. Yeah. That pipe bomb that I brought to school in third grade in Detroit was, you know, they laughed about it. Uh-huh. Everyone laughed about it.
Yeah.
So take that outside. Right. That kind of thing. That's
We're calling
that's
your dad.
No, they didn't even. They didn't even just, do that? Just take that outside and leave it out there till recess.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. But, okay. I didn't get your book. Did you give me your book?
I don't. Honestly.
You avoided the book.
I just don't. I nothing comes to mind. I was not. At that small of an age, I was not a reader.
Okay.
I was honestly, it was math and stuff. I was doing math and napkins.
All right.
Is that weird?
I'll let you out of it now.
Thank you.
Okay. Jack and Jill, information and inspiration.
Let's go buy some property for a half price.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.